The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Is going to be brought to Cabinet tomorrow, which could see further cuts to migrants' payments. In March of this year, payments to Ukrainians were cut from €220 per week to €38.80 for those who came laterally from Ukraine to here. And I'm joined for more on this by Fine Gael TD for Kildare, Bernard Durkin. Good morning to you. Bernard, do you support this idea of further cuts to migrant payments?
I don't know, because I don't know what's in the memo, and we'll have to wait and see. If the purpose of the exercise is to discourage people from coming here for the social welfare benefits, it may work, but there's a bigger issue there. And the bigger issue is what compels people to travel, to leave their own country, and to seek a better world elsewhere. That's a fundamental issue that goes right across the globe at the moment. It's not applying to this country only. It applies to all countries. Now, I think that Heather Humphreys is bringing the memo to Cabinet. An exceptionally good minister, has been an extremely caring minister, and is an extremely caring minister, and has a very comprehensive knowledge of what affects people in their own right. She effectively puts herself in their place when she comes to these decisions. So we have to wait and see what's in the memo.
Okay, and you said that it might work at dissuading certain people to come here. Is that not a good enough reason to use it?
Well, we have to know if that's the reason they're coming here. I think that people are coming across to Western Europe for a different reason, in order to be able to survive, in order to be able to eat, in order to be able to escape from war and conflict. And this particularly affects women and children to an appalling extent. And this is certainly one of the reasons why people come. There may be, and this is, of course, has historical roots, there may be a reason that Ukrainian refugees were paid a higher amount than others, other immigrants. And if that were the case, I can't understand why, except that it was thought at the beginning that the Ukrainian war was going to be short-term.
I think Ukrainians were treated as de facto EU citizens, despite the fact that they weren't EU citizens. But I think that was part of it. They were treated as our European sort of peers, and that was some of it.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in what you said. People are travelling across the globe, and in enormous numbers, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people on the move. They're coming, you were saying, well, we don't know why they come, but we do know why they come. They come for two reasons. Some of them are seeking asylum from persecution, that would be one group, and some of them are economic migrants. And whilst we are most certainly obliged to honour our obligations towards asylum seekers, you know, under EU laws and under international laws, we are not obliged to take economic migrants from outside the EU who would like a better life. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Ireland is the place that has to provide it, surely, Bernard.
No, that's theoretically true. But let's forget that we were for centuries economic immigrants ourselves. And that has been regularly pointed out to us. And if you mentioned that,
because Irish people emigrated in the past and are continuing to do so too, but largely legally, and going to Australia and Canada and America and various places legally, you're saying that because we did emigrate in large numbers that we are obliged to take people who want to do the same?
No, we're not
here.
Obliged. We're not obliged.
Are you saying we're morally obliged?
No, we need to understand the thing.
For instance, do understand it. No one doesn't understand it.
Oh, yes, there are a lot of people who pretend they don't understand it. The anti-immigrant lobby here quite regularly says, when you mention, you know, we were immigrants ourselves,
yeah,
we know what it's like.
And I accept that there is a far right who do that.
But we went to work. That's what economic immigrants do. They go to work abroad to improve their situation. That's an understandable thing. And if we condemn people who do that, knowing at the same time...
Bernard, I don't think we're condemning them. We're merely saying we're not obliged to take them. And currently we have 1,700...
We have
1,700 migrants here who are homeless, who have nowhere to live.
Correct.
So what are you saying we should do?
What I am saying we should do is we should make every effort possible to ensure that they receive the support that they're expected to receive through international aid.
But we are doing everything we can. We literally have tented accommodation. We have direct provision. We have 30% of our hotels occupied by international What are we not doing that you would do that would be additional?
We have a lot of empty accommodation that could be made available in order to avert the situation that prevails at the moment on the ground, literally on the ground. And I want to say this, that we have been heralded as a caring nation, Cead Míle Fáilte nation internationally. It's not so evident at the moment in some quarters. And we better realise that.
So are you saying, I just want to get to what you're actually saying, Bernard. Are you saying we should be more welcoming to economic migrants, illegal immigrants and asylum seekers?
We should be more understanding. I'm saying we should be more understanding of their particular plight. And that then enables us to understand their situation and respond in a meaningful way, whether it be in terms of saying...
I don't think anyone understands the situation. I think everyone understands that there are economic migrants and that there are asylum seekers. I don't know who doesn't understand that. I agree with you that there are some people who are anti-immigrant.
I don't know with whom you've been speaking. I've been reading election literature from various politicians at the moment.
And you are right that there are anti-immigrant... elected people running for office, and there are people of those views. But I think you will also accept that even aside from that cohort, that within moderate people currently in Ireland, particularly if you read the opinion polls, many people feel that your government is mismanaging migration and they don't want to see tented cities popping up on their streets in Dublin.
And they feel
very much that you are not doing the right thing when it comes to migration.
Well, what should we do in that case, since you're putting the case for the other side? What should we do? Should we say no more?
Well, actually, I'm asking you the question, to be honest, Bernard. What is it that you want to do?
In asking me the questions, you must have someone understanding yourself as to what you intend should be done.
I don't intend to do anything. I work as an interviewer.
I work as an answer to an interviewer.
You work as an elected representative. It's a little bit different.
I'm sorry, you're interrupting.
I am.
At this stage. So please wait until I answer the question. The situation is simply this, that there are strong lobbies for a stop to migration and so on and so forth, as they see it, for the reasons that they see. And they readily point out the reasons. And they burn out immigrants. They burn out proposed accommodation for
that has so happened absolutely
you, but, that has but, happened numerous occasions.
Yeah, no, it has, but I'm asking you, what do you think that your government, that you're being highly critical of, should do in addition? Well, I said we have 30% of our hotels are taken up by international protection applicants. We have a situation where we have 1,700 homeless male single asylum seekers. We have tented accommodation is the only thing on offer to people who are newly arriving. We have huge numbers of, I suppose, accommodations around the country occupied by people. And I'm wondering, what do you want to do in addition?
Can I answer?
Yeah, please.
Can I answer? Do you want to continue on yourself?
No, I'd love you to answer.
No, I want to answer.
Please do. Go for it.
No, I'm sorry. This is not interrogation now. This is a question and answer
session. Please do answer, Bernard. I'd love to hear your answer.
The question and answer session comes in response to your continuous attack. And it is a political attack which suggests that the government is not doing the right thing or not doing enough. I'm saying to you, the government is doing everything possible in the circumstances and has done everything possible in the circumstances.
Sorry, I'm confused. You said at the beginning of this you thought the government should be doing more.
Been promoted by
Bernard, I'm asking you questions.
Political people.
Bernard, you said at the beginning.
Who hope to get advantage. I'm very confused.
You said at the beginning of this interview that the government needs to do more, and then you've just said just now that the government is doing everything that they can. Which is it?
In the circumstances to date, it has done everything possible. It may need to change, and it does need to change, and it is, of course, wrong to see people living and sleeping in tents. It's also wrong to see people being burnt out of their tents as well. And that has happened, and regularly, and in the centre of the city. And in the centre of the country, not once, but on numerous occasions. So if I were asking questions, I'd be asking you, how do you feel about that?
I think that's absolutely appalling, as any right-minded person would surely think, Bernard.
Yeah, and so do I.
Good stuff. Look, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Fine Gael TD for Kildare, Bernard Durkin.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.